hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the podcast series Healthy Heart with Dr. Rohit Sani. I'm your host and friend Dr. Aman Kapoor and I welcome you back to this episode. Joining us again is the founder of Madhabagh, leading preventive cardiologist, person who has changed the life of so many patients by helping them reverse their heart disease, diabetes and other lifestyle related diseases. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Rohit Sani. Rohit sir, welcome back to this episode.
Thank you, Dr. Aman.
So, Dr. Sani, on today's topic, we'll be covering area which has two aspects which we are seeing. One, very oftenly taken in a very light manner, ignored by people. And on the other hand, it is something that people are now getting a lot worried about, and it is that it is going to cause them problem. And what I'm talking about is high blood pressure or hypertension, as we call it in a medical language. Now, Dr. Sani, high blood pressure is a very common disease. In fact, a lot of people do not even know that they have high blood pressure. Now, what is your take on the presence of high blood pressure and how is the people's attitude towards high blood pressure in your experience?
Okay. Well, you are almost to the mark, Dr. Aman, because as you said, you are right that most of the Indians don't even know that they are hypertensive. It has been already documented and published in several research papers where more than 23% of Indians are already hypertensive. And this is the count of only those patients who have been diagnosed with hypertension. The research says, along with the 23% of Indians being diabetic, there are several number of people who have not even been diagnosed for hypertension because they never have checked their blood pressure till date. So this is a big concern for India because as we go ahead, everybody knows that blood pressure is directly connected to heart disease. Whenever the pressure inside the blood vessel increases, obviously it's going to damage the blood vessel also, as well as the damage is going to reach to the heart sooner or later. So at the end, the heart is going to get affected. So if at all we diagnose ourselves for either being normotensive or else hypertensive, we'll be able to take remedies, we'll be able to take measures to control this blood pressure and stop or reduce down the damage that is going to happen on the heart and thus improve the quality as well as the quantity of life. So I think blood pressure is many a times not understood well by the people and hence they neglect it to a very good extent. Many a times it has been also considered just as a figure which is to be controlled with some kind of medicines. And people think that just gulping up a pill or a medicine is going to keep my numbers back into normal. And that is all that I am supposed to do or to keep my blood pressure normal. But I am sure that people can get more and more awareness about it and gradually improve the understanding about blood pressure, that it's not only about the figures, it's not only about the numbers of the blood pressure kind of thing, but if at all we can improve that understanding related to the pathophysiology, the disease itself, I am sure that people would take it more seriously and control that blood pressure to a very good level.
So, Dr. Sani, when we talk about blood pressure, the effects of blood pressure, people are not very much aware. But now, there's a growing fear amongst people that high blood pressure can lead to heart attack. So, how true is it?
Okay. So, first of all, I don't say that people should be afraid about this blood pressure. Awareness is something different and being afraid is something different. According to me, if at all we are afraid of anything, that means we just have got the information about that topic. If at all that information gets processed and gets converted into intelligence, the fear will disappear and you will find the solutions in front of you. So I think usually fear is associated with problems and solution is associated with happiness. So if at all you get more and more understanding about this disease, the solutions will pop up in front of you and you will be much more happier with this intelligence related to blood pressure. So as you asked that how is this blood pressure related to heart disease? It's a very simple relation that blood pressure has with heart disease. Like heart disease is nothing else, but if at all my heart is not able to push the blood into the blood vessels, which are supposed to carry this blood to all over the tissues of my body. If the blood vessels are constricted, the heart will take more amount of energy to pump the blood in these constricted blood vessels. But if at all the blood vessels are healthy, they are dilated and they give no resistance to the blood passing through the blood vessels, I am sure the heart will be at ease. So, if at all the blood vessel gets constricted day by day and the resistance for the blood flow inside the blood vessel increases many folds, the heart will have to function a lot more than what it used to function in the normal blood vessels. So, in this case, if blood pressure increases, the blood vessels get vasoconstricted. And due to this constriction, the resistance against the blood column increases inside the blood vessels. As the resistance increases, the blood pressure increases. So, as the blood vessel, the resistance increases, the blood pressure increases, that itself gives a huge amount of overload on the heart muscles. So now, the heart muscles, which used to work with about 225 ml of blood supply every minute, now due to this hard work that they are supposed to do, they will start asking for more than 225, maybe it could be 275, it could be 300, it could be 325, anything. So, the heart muscle will now expect more amount of blood supply to itself through the coronary arteries, which will again be affected because of blood pressure. So, in turn, the heart itself will also get a less amount of blood supply, as well as the tissues all around the body will also get less amount of blood supply because of the resistance in the peripheral arteries, and this as a whole gets converted into a disease which we call it as blood pressure. And at the end of the day, who is supposed to manage this blood pressure in our body? It's nothing else than your kidney. Oh, at the end of the day, when the heart gets the burn because of this increasing resistance, the kidney is also getting affected because of it. So, gradually when we go ahead, we see there are several number of patients who, in this journey of blood pressure, before developing heart disease, they might develop renal disorders also.
Wow.
So, not only heart, but blood pressure will affect the kidneys, the eyes, liver, and several other organs, and hence blood pressure becomes very important for us to measure every day and keep it under control as we go ahead.
Superb. Now, a very important point, Dr. Sane, that you have shared, that you know, it's, we think about only heart, but the kidney is getting affected, the eyes getting affected, the rest of the body getting affected, the brain getting affected. It's a huge thing that we need to think about. And rightly said, fear is not the right thing. This the knowledge, the right knowledge and ability to you know, take the right decisions and make the changes is important. So, Dr. Sane, talking about blood pressure measurement, you said, you know, now the question arises is, one, what is normal blood pressure and does it change according to ages, and how should it be measured?
Yes. Normal blood pressure, it has been said, usually everybody knows something like that. If people normally consider that these numbers are usually normal, but I would like to give some more knowledge onto it, that this blood pressure has slabs according to your age. Now, what happens is, there is a simple calculation which we were taught in our earlier days of our graduation, that 100 plus your age should be your systolic blood pressure. That means if an individual of about 75 years of age, if the systolic blood pressure, the upper part of the blood pressure, it's still 170, 175, it can be considered normal, provided there are several other parameters that we are supposed to correlate with this. But just speaking widely and vaguely, it would be very simple to understand that 100 plus your age could be your normal blood pressure. You don't have to worry to that number. But many a times, along with blood pressure, the heart rate is also an important parameter to be checked. So if at all the blood pressure is 175 in a 75 year age individual, and along with that the heart rate is beyond 100, beyond 110, then that is a matter of concern as well. Consider the blood pressure is 175 in this individual of 75 years age and his heart rate is below 40, that is again a matter of concern. But if at all the heart rate is in normal range with the blood pressure being 170 and 175 in a 75 age year individual, I don't think so that is going to be a problem. Now, along with the systolic blood pressure, you are also supposed to take a check on your diastolic blood pressure. Usually, it has been said that diastolic blood pressure should not go beyond 90 or 94 millimeter of mercury. And if at all that has been adjusted in the 75-year age individual, being 175 and 94 being the diastolic, that also could be normal. But if at all the systolic is 175 and the diastolic also goes beyond 100 or 110, then that is a matter of concern.
Okay.
So, when we talk about blood pressure, there are several other parameters that we need to check with this blood pressure. But this blood pressure individual parameter is also a very important parameter that everybody has to keep a check on. So, if at all we understand it neatly, consider an individual of say about 50 years of age and his blood pressure stays to about 140-150 with diastolic being below about 84. I don't think so that's a matter of concern. But many a times, several guidelines also speak about keeping your blood pressure tightly below 130 millimeter of mercury. That is what several guidelines say. But at the same time, few of these researchers also say that if at all you tightly control your blood pressure without being symptomatic about it, and the tight control of blood pressure might itself lead to several other risk factors and several other damages inside your body because of your medicines. So, I would suggest that if at all you want to control your blood pressure, it could be with lifestyle measures that are the best and without any adverse effects and at free at cost. So, if at all we just follow those lifestyle measures and control the blood pressure as well as the heart rate, people would be at ease and will be able to enjoy good quality and quantity of life.
Very, very new information shared by you, Dr. Sane. Especially, you know, we always think about blood pressure as 120, 80 or 130, 80. That's the number that is stuck into everybody's mind. And the information that you have shared today is quite revealing. And I'm sure most of our listeners who are listening to this podcast will also start thinking very differently. Now, will also have that surprise in their mind. Now, with respect to the numbers we have talked, how do you check at home? I mean, is there anything that there is a guidelines that you would suggest to about keeping a track of BP at home?
Yes, you are absolutely right. Many a times when it has been very usually seen that people who have normal blood pressure at home, and when they reach a doctor's office, a doctor's clinic, and they check their blood pressure over there, they find their blood pressure to be elevated. This blood pressure, which gets elevated when meeting a doctor or being anxious, is normally called as a white coat hypertension. So, white coat hypertension means your blood pressure at home is normal and the blood pressure rises when you go and talk to your boss, talk to your doctor, or else get anxious if at all you are tense and the blood pressure increases. This usually happens with everybody. And this is normally called as a white coat hypertension, which doesn't need any treatment acutely. But yes, regular monitoring will be required because this white coat hypertension might get converted into actual hypertension in the longer run. So, over here we need to understand is how to check blood pressure. It could be...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Checked at the doctor's clinic, it could be checked at home. There are several electronic blood pressure monitors. There are several mercury sphygmomanometers that are available. So every individual has different thoughts about it, that which is more particular. But I would rather say blood pressure is a dynamic parameter. It can change every second, every minute, every hour, every day. So if at all you get some kind of variation on these blood pressure monitors, don't be afraid about it. Whenever we check our blood pressure, it is supposed to be checked at least 3 times. And in those 3 times, you are supposed to come up with an average of the blood pressure that you have got for all these 3 times. That would be a very accurate kind of measurement for your blood pressure. Now, when to check? The normal usual time of blood pressure to be checked should be early in the morning, as soon as you get up from your bed. Now, why is it so? The answer is very simple. Normally, in the night, when you are at sleep, when you are at ease, absolutely zero tense, in the night, your blood pressure should be absolutely normal by 20 millimeter of mercury, and the diastolic blood pressure by about 10 millimeter of mercury. Now, if at all this drop is seen in sleep when you are at rest, early in you wake up, sleep seem to be normal. Somewhere below 130 by 80 in a patient with 45-50 years of age. If at all, the blood pressure is seen to increase early in the morning itself, that is more damaging, the pressure increasing for the whole day and staying normal in times. So, the best time to check your blood pressure is going to be as soon as you get up from the bed. The first thing that you got to check is your blood pressure. If you see that the blood pressure early in the morning is seen to be normal, you don't have to worry. You are at ease. Many a times, as we all about stress that we normally do in a medical clinic. So, if at all your blood pressure increases with stress, that is not such a huge matter of concern as of now. Yes, in the longer run, it has to come back to normal as early as possible. But the more alarming sign is going to be high blood pressure early in the morning, as soon as you get up from your bed. So, check your blood pressure every morning. Keep a note of it. Keep a track of it. And that analysis will give you a very good understanding whether you are hypertensive or whether you are not hypertensive.
Okay. And Dr. Sane, when you mentioned that, you know, get up, take the blood pressure measurement as soon as you get up. Now, the question comes is, people have often asked this question, should it be after breakfast, before breakfast, before going to a washroom, or after going to a washroom? So those factors also are asked by people quite a lot. So can you give us some clarification on that also?
Absolutely. Now, as you just spoke about going to the washroom, having breakfast, I'll give you a few figures. Normally, the blood pressure has to increase with 3 things that is very normal. Like, the first thing is while passing urine, while micturition, the blood pressure has to increase. The second, while passing stools, while defecating, the blood pressure has to increase. That is very, very normal. If at all it doesn't increase during micturition and during defecation, that is a concern. So if at all the blood pressure rises with defecation and micturition, that's absolutely okay. And the third thing is while vomiting. If at all anybody is vomiting, the blood pressure is supposed to increase. These are normal variations that you see in the whole day while these three acts are supposed to be done. So usually, if at all, you can check your blood pressure. After defecation, you will find it a bit lower. And if at all, you check the blood pressure before defecation, just 5, 7, 10 minutes before defecation, the blood pressure will be seen to be higher. And while defecating, if at all you check your blood pressure, the blood pressure is still more higher. So the best thing is going to be the blood pressure is supposed to be checked in supine position, in the lying down position. And that would be the best time is going to be the early morning, as soon as you wake up, before you get out of your bed. So if at all you can check your blood pressure early in the morning itself, you have done the most important job of your day. And if at all you find your blood pressure to be normal, you can enjoy for your whole day with all the activities that you have planned for.
Fantastic, Dr. Sane. So, and how many days in a week? Should it be done daily, or you suggest that a couple of few days in a week? What is your suggestion on the frequency?
Okay. If at all you are not a hypertensive, if at all you are a normotensive, you can check it once a week, once in 15 days, once in a month. That is all okay. But if at all you are a known hypertensive, if at all you are already on antihypertensive medications, then I would suggest the blood pressure to be checked every morning. Every day you check your blood pressure before consuming your antihypertensive medicines. So if at all you check your blood pressure early in the morning and see that your blood pressure is already normal before consuming these antihypertensive medications, then that means your need for antihypertensive medications is gradually going down. Your system is getting back towards normal. Many a times we blindly continue consuming these antihypertensive medications, which normally have certain adverse effects in the longer run. But if at all we have those lifestyle measures in check, and we continue to keep our lifestyle in control, and along with the lifestyle, your blood pressure stays back in control, the need for antihypertensives will go down gradually as you go ahead.
Great, great, Dr. Sane. Now, with the mention of antihypertensives, people very casually consume medicines. And I'm sorry to say, but many cases have been there that there is an excessive or very aggressive medication being also given with respect to hypertension, because people I've seen are consuming multiple drugs, multiple medicines at the same time to keep their BP under check. So how do these hypertension medicines really work, and are there any side effects that people should be really concerned about?
So there are several classes of antihypertensive medications that normally are prescribed for the patients. Like for example, there could be medications which are going to work on your brain, and from the central mechanism, it's going to keep your blood pressure back in control. That is one way to keep the blood pressure in control. There are several medications which work on the central mechanism and reduce down the blood pressure. That is one. Second way is going to be the medicines many a times work on your kidneys, and from the kidneys they normally try to regulate the whole body's blood pressure, because kidney are the central blood pressure regulating agency. So if at all you start working on the kidney, angiotensin converting enzyme, it can be inhibited, and with this inhibition the vasoconstriction that is happening inside the whole body can be abolished. With this the blood pressure can be kept in control. That is the second way of controlling blood pressure. There are several ways of controlling blood pressure in which there are few medicines which throw out the excess amount of fluid from your body through your urine, and this again helps to check the fluid volume inside your body, and that is how they try to control the blood pressure through this mechanism. There are several other mechanisms in which the anxiety can be kept in control. through certain medications, through certain lifestyle approaches, and that is how again blood pressure can be controlled. As well, the most important thing is going to be certain vasodilators which directly go and abolish the calcium channels present inside your body, and that leads to vasodilatation. The blood vessel relaxes and that leads to reduction in blood pressure. That could be the second last approach. And the last most approach is going to be lifestyle measures by which you will keep your weight under control, because as soon as your weight increases, obviously to nourish that much amount of body circumference area, whether it's made up of fatty tissue, whether it's made up of fluid, whatever reason is the reason behind increasing weight, the blood pressure has to increase to nourish all these extra tissues in your body, and hence the blood pressure will be seen to be rising gradually along with your weight. So if at all we can control your weight, we can control your we can reduce down your weight, that will also be the best method to reduce down your blood pressure and keep your blood pressure back in check and reduce down the further damage inside your body.
Great. And with respect to the side effects aspect of it, are there any side effects that people should be worried about when they are consuming these medicines?
Obviously. The side effects would be, there would be several side effects. Like for example, if at all some patients are on diuretics to throw away the excess amount of fluids from the body, there could be several adverse effects related to electrolyte depletion or electrolyte changes that happen in your body that would result into cramps in your hands, cramps in the calf muscles. There could be many signs of dehydration that a patient might feel. There could be symptoms like feeling weakness, malaise, tiredness, fatigue. Be several symptoms, as well as many a times some kind of antihypertensive medications would also lead to more amount of swelling in the body. So there are several other side effects that can be talked about, but I would always expect these patients not to shut down or not to stop these antihypertensive medications abruptly, because that would again invite more problems. So always trying to talk to your doctor, how can you gradually reduce down these antihypertensive medications, or else change the molecule, or else change the whole lifestyle approach that we were trying to have in our whole life. If at all that can be worked upon, gradually these medicines can be reduced down, as well as the side effects and the adverse effects also can be controlled.
Awesome, Dr. Sane. And very importantly, you have mentioned about lifestyle changes. Now, when we come to hypertension, even World Health Organization recently said that, you know, just making a few changes in your lifestyle can cut your hypertension risk and the need for hypertension medicines by more than 50%. So, what are these lifestyle changes that our listeners should adopt to if they want to, one, you know, get rid of hypertension, and two, stay normal if they're normal?
Okay. So as I mentioned in the first few minutes, that hypertension is all about the resistance that the blood column feels while flowing through the blood vessel. So blood pressure is all about the blood and the blood vessel chemistry that they have in each other. So if this chemistry can be worked in a better way, the blood pressure disorder can immediately get back in control. Like for example, all those reasons by which the blood vessels get constricted and they initiate some kind of resistance against the blood volume, if at all this can be kept in check, blood pressure can be in control. Now, how to do that is stop all those things which are going to increase the resistance of this blood vessel against the blood column. Now, which things normally increase the resistance? There are three major things. One is going to be the food that you consume. Food will include the volume of fluid also. So whatever you consume through your mouth is going to be a very important thing by which you'll be able to control your blood pressure. one. Second is going to be the exercises, that is the excretion of the fluids, either through urine or else through sweat or else through your breath, is going to be more important to control your blood pressure, because that is again going to reduce down the volume of this blood inside your body and keep that in check. That is the second thing that is very important. So the first one was the food that we consume, the input that we give to our body is going to be important. The second is going to be the output. The fluid output that goes out of your body is going to be important. And third is going to be your stress. So these three things, if at all they are kept in control, I am sure that blood pressure management is going to be super easy. Like, if at all anybody consumes more quantity of food than what he can digest, if that happens in, it's going to lead to extra amount of viscosity of blood, which is going to increase the resistance while flowing through the blood vessel. So, the first thing is going to be, what do you eat? How much do you eat? And when do you eat? If at all you can standardize this for yourself, every individual has different tastes and different priorities, different timings, but that doesn't matter. Whatever is your timetable, standardize your timetable of when are you supposed to eat, what are you supposed to eat, and when are you supposed to eat. If at all we start irrational behavior with our food, that will increase the viscosity and turbidity of blood, which is again going to lead to hypertension. So the first thing is keeping your food under control is going to be the first lifestyle change. Many a times we have several things in between our meals, which again increases that insulin resistance, which leads to increase in the turbidity and viscosity of blood, and that again invites blood pressure. So the most important thing in food that you got to do is to keep a very good disciplined approach while selecting your food timings, your food quantity, and your food quality. So that is the first thing that you got to do, a lifestyle change about your food. The second is going to be about volume control. Many a times it has been seen that people normally consume a lot amount of fluids in the whole day. We are supposed to assess, is that actually required? Your kidney normally is going to throw out about 2-2.5 liters of fluid from your body every day, not more than that. In that case, if at all you consume about 5 liters, 7 liters, 10 liters of water in a day, obviously that is going to retain inside your body. And if at all it gets utilized, still better. If at all it doesn't get utilized, you are inviting blood pressure because of volume overload. Then in those cases, we are supposed to administer several kind of medications which will throw out this excess amount of fluid from your body. So, the second most important thing in this food part is going to be the volume of fluid that you normally consume. So, in food, there are going to be two things. One is going to be the solid food, that what you eat, when do you eat, and the quality of food that you eat. And the second is going to be the volume of fluids that you consume. So, the first thing about food, the lifestyle change that you got to do is about the food that you normally have. The second most important lifestyle change is going to be the amount of excretion of these fluids from your, the largest organ of your body, that is your skin. If at all you are supposed to excrete that kind of fluid from your skin, you will have to sweat out. If at all you have to sweat out, you will have to exercise. So the more you exercise and more you throw out this excess amount of fluid from your body through your sweat as well as through urine, the job is going to be much more easier, and hence exercise is going to be a very, very important point in managing and controlling your blood pressure. Now, these exercises would be of two major types. One is going to be the physical exercise for your external muscles, whatever you have, and the second is going to be for your lungs, because your lungs also breathe and try to manage the fluids inside your body. So if at all the breathing takes place in the right manner, the amount of angiotensin agent that is supposed to go to your kidney to message that yes, kidney has to work well, does come from the lungs itself. So if at all you breathe well, the amount of breathing exercises, the pranayam or other breathing techniques that you could follow, this breathing, the discipline that you will maintain your breathing, will help you to reduce down the anxiety also, will help you to keep the blood pressure in control by reducing down the total resistance inside the blood vessel. So the first one was the food, the second one was your fluids that you are supposed to excrete out through your kidneys, through your sweat, through your breathing. So if at all you do that and concentrate on your exercising lifestyle, I am sure the second part will be under control. And the third most important thing, what 70% of hypertensives are associated with, is going to be stress. If at all you stress out yourself, there are several hormones which get generated in your body, like adrenaline, noradrenaline. There are several stress hormones which would get generated in your body, and that is going to keep your blood vessel under tension, and the blood vessels are going to constrict themselves, and that is going to again increase your blood pressure. So if at all you can keep your stress under control by keeping a disciplined approach in your life, and trying to finish those jobs wherever you can as soon as possible, not giving your brain or your mind a lot amount of tension of uncompleted tasks. If that is done well in time in a disciplined approach, I'm sure stress also will be back in control to very, very good level. So if at all we have these three things well in control, the one is going to be the food intake as well as the fluid intake. That is the first part. Second is going to be the fluid output through your exercises. That is the second thing. And third thing is going to be keeping your stress under control. If these three things are controlled well, I am sure that your blood pressure will be absolutely back in control, and you'll be able to stay a very good, you'll be able to enjoy a very good healthy life with good quality of life also.
Awesome, Dr. Sane. Thank you. Very important tips. My dear friends, I am sure you are going to follow this. Those who are listening to this, share this with everyone. Dr. Sane, regarding the salt intake, any quick tips about the salt intake for the listeners who are listening to our podcast today?
Yes. It has been seen that in India, people normally consume more than 13 to 14 grams of salt every day. But if at all we try to go back to the guidelines and understand that 5 grams of salt intake is the max that we are supposed to consume. When we consume 3 times more amount of salt in our diet every day, obviously that is going to invite problems. So if at all salt, if we talk about our normal table salt, 5 grams of salt will have about 2.5 grams of sodium. So this sodium is going to be much more a bigger culprit than anything else. So if at all we can replace this sodium with potassium salt, it's going to be the easiest solution. Obviously, potassium salt will not have that kind of taste what the sodium salt has, but it will have incredible benefits on your body that is going to push your blood ahead, keep your heart healthy, as well as the muscles very, very toned up. So if at all the salt intake, the total amount, the total quantity of salt intake can be brought back in control to about 5 grams a day max, and having this salt, the sodium salt, replaced by potassium salt, it's going to be still more better. So salt, which is a very much talked about topic when it's about blood pressure, I am sure that these simple two techniques that everybody does is going to keep your salt as well as your blood pressure back in control.
Awesome. And any words about Sendha Namak or the rock salt?
Yes. Usually, way back in Ayurveda, it was mentioned that rock salt is a very, very good form of salt that everybody can consume. The more amount of minerals that the salt has, it's always going to be good. Usually, Sendha Namak is been termed as low sodium salt, or else compared to the usual salt that we consume, compared to that, If at all we try to compare Saindham Namak, the rock salt, it has much more amount of potassium as compared to the usual salt. So if at all we can have Saindham, if at all we can have rock salt in our food, still better. But rock salt also can be consumed, has to be consumed not more than 5 grams a day. Whatever salt you consume, whether it's potassium salt or whether it's sodium salt, if at all you can curtail it down to about 5 grams a day to max, that is going to be the much easier option that you can go ahead with.
Great, great. Dr. Sane, fantastic discussions today around hypertension. And I'm sure after listening to your suggestions, your views and your advice, the tension of our viewers would have definitely come down with respect to hypertension. So, Dr. Sane, thank you very much for such a fantastic discussion, for giving us such valuable tips around high blood pressure. My dear friends, don't worry about high blood pressure, but take care of it. Dr. Sane has shared with you fantastic knowledge, valuable tips and insights. What you need to do with this is to apply in your life, share it to the people, those who are in your circle, so that they can stay away from hypertension and keep their lives healthier and happier. And at the same time, as always, please share your comments here below in whatever platform. If you're listening on Spotify, whether you're listening on YouTube, whether you're listening on YouTube Music, Audible Music, podcasts of Apple Podcasts, please drop in your comments below and let us know what you think about this episode, or if you have any other questions that you would like to ask us. Share and subscribe if you have not done till now. With this, we end this episode. This is your friend Dr. Aman Kapoor taking your leave. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. Sane, for giving us valuable guidance. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.